to open a public hearing. This will be hearing number 2 of 9 that we will be conducting around the county from now to January 28th to receive, to, first of all, give information and receive testimony with regard to a consideration of a property tax levy. And I will start this process by opening up to, oh, wait, not opening up, I will start with introductions. So,
Bob Wolf, Matthew Ward, Polk County Sheriff. Craig Hanson, the County Administrator.
Mike Gainsworth, Commissioner.
Craig Polk, Polk County Commissioner.
Jennifer Wheeler, Commissioner.
Marty Silvernagle, Director of Corrections, Michigan Juvenile.
Oh. I'm Matt Hawkins, I'm County Administrative Services Director.
Morgan Smith, the County Counsel.
Okay. Thank you. And so I'm going to now open up with Mr. Hanson. He's going to give a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For some of you, this would be a regurgitation of what we did last night in our first public hearing. The reason that we are holding these public hearings is in the end of November, I made a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners to place on the ballot a local option tax, otherwise known as an operating levy, for a May 19, 2015 general election. And that basis for that levy was to restore public safety services in Polk County. The local option tax was in an amount not to exceed 45 cents per thousand. And the duration of that levy was going to be for 5 years. And that triggered the series of public hearings that we're going to hold over the course of the next 6 weeks, this being number 2 out of 9. The basis or the reason that we are looking at and determining whether we go on the ballot for a operating levy is because of the current situation that we are in our public safety field. We currently have approximately 78 employees in our public safety system. In 2008-2009, we had about 112 employees. So we've lost quite a number of employees, a little over 35% of our employees in our public safety area. This levy at 45 cents per thousand would restore some of those lost positions. We're down approximately 34 positions from where we were at a high in 2008-2009. This will restore 22 positions to bring us back up to about 100, so we would still be down 12 compared to where we were in 2008-2009. How those 22 positions pencil out, 12 of those positions would go to the Sheriff's Office Patrol positions. 5 of those positions would go to the sheriff jail operations, and 5 of those positions would go to the district attorney's office and would reside in the prosecution division. Also, as part of the 45 cents per thousand, we would also restore 2 juvenile detention beds. We currently have 4 detention beds. We were at a high, we were at over 6 detention beds. So we're down 2 detention beds, and those beds are necessary for us to provide services for the juvenile delinquents that we have to house in detention. Other things that should be known and that we didn't know back in 2013, we put another levy on the ballot, as you're aware. If you're not, we did in November of 2013. That levy was for 4 years. It was 460 cents per thousand, and that failed at the ballots, 58% no to 42% yes, approximately. So it failed substantially. This is now going to be 18 months later, approximately, that we're looking at trying to restore some of those public safety services. When we went out in 2013, we still had 24/7 control. It was only later that the sheriff had to reduce that 24/7 patrol. At first he did it in February at about 20 hours per day, and then he had to even ratchet back further with the cuts that he had to absorb to the 10 hours a day that we have 7 days a week. The reason that we prolonged this process and didn't have effects to our public safety during 08, 09, and later is we lived kind of on our beginning fund balances. In 2008-09, we had a 3.8 million, almost 3.9 million beginning fund balance in the general fund. We're down to 2.3. So we used 1.6 million of beginning fund balance to help operate and maintain our public safety services for as long as we could. After that dried up and we couldn't reduce our beginning fund balance any further without causing fiscal constraint on the whole system, we had to make the layoffs that we did, and over time, unfortunately, the Sheriff's Patrol and Sheriff's Division has had to absorb the last reductions that we had to make as a county and a general fund. So that's an overview of where we are and what we're looking at. There has been no final decision made. The recommendation I made to the board was only a recommendation. They're holding these public hearings to get input from the citizens, positive, negative, whatever input you would like to provide. Hopefully it's on topic. We're here to talk about public safety. We aren't here to talk about a rock quarry or something else. We're here to focus in on the public hearing itself, which is a local option tax and the amount and the duration, and whether there's a need or not. So, nothing has been finalized. The board will make that decision well after these public hearings sometime in February. And that's if they want to move forward with the May election. If they choose not to move forward with the May election, then they have much longer to determine whether or not to place something like that. So with that, that's a pretty good overview of where we are and how we got here. And I'm done. So I need to answer questions.
We had a sign-up sheet in the back table back there. If you want to speak, I would like for you to get your name on the sign-up sheet if you would, please, so we have your information. So if you want to sign up, Morgan will bring you the sheet if you can pass it around.
I'm pretty sure it's not a good idea, so I
appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Board, first of all, thank you for all of you folks that are here tonight. I know some of you were at the meeting last night, and so have some things like this on the same stuff. But one of the things I wanted to just briefly talk about before we get started this evening is public safety, obviously, is the reason that we're here. And the sheriff's office from the general fund, I think, up probably the biggest share of the public safety funding out of the general fund. Since 2008, when we started losing the payments from OMT timber, we started seeing reductions that started occurring back in 2008. At first, they were pretty small. As Mr. Hansen said, we were kind of adjusting the budget around using beginning fund balance. But as those payments continued to drop off, which they dropped off a lot, we have, this last year, made some significant cuts to the sheriff's office. And with that, we've laid off, I happen to be the second longest serving sheriff in Polk County's history, but I'm also now honored, if you would, to be the only sheriff in Polk County's history that's laid off as many full-time employees as I have. So it really gets down to, and we want to hear from you, but it really gets down to the whole fact of the money. And I just want you to know that as the sheriff of Polk County, that I work every year with the budget committee in this county, which is made up of the three commissioners and three lay people from the community. And we sat down and we looked at that budget, and the interest and the care and concern that the budget committee has for public safety is very high. And I'm here to tell you that if there were any additional money left in that general fund that could be used for public safety, without completely eliminating some of the other funds that are in the general fund that have to be funded, I would get it. And if I wasn't getting it, I'd be fighting for it. There just is not any money left in the general fund to put more deputies back on the road, to add deputies back to the jail, and provide court security, which happens to be a mandated function of the sheriff. So right now, what happens if the courts are calling for court security, we're pulling myself, we're pulling the patrol lieutenant or the detectives to go stand by in the courtroom while the person is brought into court, because I don't have enough people in the jail. I cut the jail back as far as I could. Right now, for example, tonight, one of our sergeants called in sick, so we're paying overtime for two people. One staying over half of the shift, and another guy's coming in only half of the shift. Every time an employee in the jail calls in sick, I have to pay overtime because I have cut them down to the very minimum that they can operate. So, ladies and gentlemen, it truly is an issue of funding, and it's not because the money's been mismanaged. It's truly because we've lost federal timber revenues that used to offset the budget. So, we're interested in your comments and how we can fix this and the best direction to go. And it'll be up to the Board of Commissioners to decide when or if we put something on the ballot. So your input is very important to us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sheriff. I would also, I think you're going to want to add on here when I get done, also back up for a moment to Mr. Hansen's statement about beginning fund balances. And so I'll remind you that he said 3.6 in 2008?
3.9.
2.3 now. We were as low as 1.3 in 2012. And this board and budget committee has been very, very concerned about letting the beginning fund balance, which is essentially your contingency fund, to operate your $50 million corporation in your county. It got down to $1.3 million. And
that was your contingency, not the beginning.
I'm sorry, right, it was a contingency. It has come back up some because we have had these erratic payments from the federal government for secure rural schools payments. So I'm confident most of you heard about what that congressional fuss has been about. And we're still waiting on that to level out and be something. But when those dollars have come, they've never come when promised. They have never come in an amount that was promised. And they are not sustainable. And you can't count on them. And the sheriff can't build a budget. We can't build a budget. The sheriff can't operate on those erratic payments. So though we've come back up some in that contingency fund, which gives us a little bit more comfort zone to operate the county, it isn't money that we can say, well, sheriff, go spend it and hire some deputies. And the reason for that is,
it takes us approximately 18 months to 2 years from the time we open up the position till the applications are done, the recruitment's completed, the interviews are done, we get the person hired, and we send them to training, and they come out of the 16-week academy, and the 10 to 12 weeks of field training time, and then by the time they get done with all of that, they get released and start trying to do things on their own. So it's not that I can just go out and hire deputies tomorrow and put everything back into place. Backgrounds are difficult. It is a very time-consuming process. And unfortunately, every time we lose a deputy, $100,000 of your tax dollars just walks out the door. And it pains me and the board when we have that. And I've been faced with the issues now that when I do try to hire somebody to fill a vacancy in jail, which I just did on Monday, it took some time talking to this gentleman to make him understand that the jail positions are pretty secure. If I'm trying to hire somebody for patrol, that's not very secure right now. I can't get people to turn in applications right now because we don't have a stable funding outlook.
Commissioners?
Listen.
All right, so we do have a sign-up sheet here, and I'm going to ask you to try to keep it to 3 minutes so that those who are here to speak get their opportunity, and we all get a chance to do that. Last night we learned that it seemed to be relatively successful to have some back and forth. So though we don't want to turn this into a debate forum or an argument, if there are questions asked, we're going to do our best to try to answer those. I'm going to do my best to try and help everybody be polite and be smart about how we're going to do this. So, Mr. Neary.
Thanks. Thank you, Chairman. And members of the commission and the sheriff, thanks for doing this. This is it's important that we have a dialogue. And I want to say thanks to Greg Hansen for writing that chart that compares Polk County to Benton County and Yamhill County. That's something that came up yesterday. People kind of wanted that comparison. And I think it shows that Polk County is kind of a leader in running a lean county. And so I'm pleased with that, and I hope that we can continue to do that, to run a lean county. I know I don't have very much time, so I'll get right to it. And I have a lot of different points, and so you're going to get one of them every night from me. So tonight I thought the theme that I would do would be, and I hope I'm not out of line, talking about the county fair. You folks call this a public safety levy. I call it a tax increase, and it's just you choose to not spend the money on public safety. There's other places that you could get more money or whatever. And one of the things I noticed, I go through your budget and I see that the county fair doesn't make any money. I think they've made $130 last year, which is nothing. It's a $260,000 operation. It makes $130,000, which is essentially breaks even. And I'm wondering, so you have this, it's a very nice facility out here. We have a nice new sign out on Highway 99 or anything like that. Is why don't we raise the prices up here? As I understand that you're full 52 weeks out of the year. You have events here every single week. You can't make any more weekends in the year. And so why don't you raise the prices to generate more revenue here? If you could just on the revenue that you get from charging people to do things, from concessions to rents and things like that, if you increase those just 25%, that would pay for half a sheriff's deputy. That would be a permanent thing. There's another thing that's kind of a more important thing. I know that's not very much money, but there's kind of an important point of principle, is that this fairgrounds doesn't pay any property taxes. And so what it's doing effectively, it's competing with other private ventures. You know, I'm thinking of the Greenville Arm, which is a private venture. It does pay property taxes. And so there's kind of a little bit of a moral principle there of effectively what you're doing is you're saying that the county is going to subsidize the gun and knife show, the quilt show, or the goat show, or the flea market, or whatever you have here. We're going to subsidize that at the expense of providing public safety to me and my family. And so I think there's kind of a moral issue there. I think you have a moral responsibility to generate as much revenue as you can from the fairgrounds. And I think you could demonstrate that you're doing that by the fact that you weren't full 52 weeks out of the year, or nearly 52 weeks out of the year. So I'll put that just as an open question to anybody that wants to answer that. And thanks very much for your time. And I'll also say that I'm urging you to not put this levy forward. Thank you.
I'm happy to at least take a jab at that. So I would tell you that I'm glad that you've done your homework with regard to what the fairgrounds grosses per year, and recognize that even a 25% increase, which would be really hard to do, would establish any kind of a sustainable revenue stream that would do anything more than pay for a half a deputy. We don't hire half deputies. We don't hire half FTEs for patrol. So I think, again, as the sheriff just described.
I can get you more halves if you want. We'll do that the next time.
And again, we have a separate governing entity for the fair and the fairgrounds activities, and that's a fair board. And that is their duty and responsibility to see to it, and then the Board of Commissioners does not dictate to the fair board how they operate generally, and does not set the fees generally, though we actively participate in those things. And they're very cognizant of market rates and competition with private entities that do their best to try to make sure that everything stays in balance. But this is a public property, and it is here for the benefit of the public, and there is a demand by the public for us to operate these fairgrounds. So everything there is a very small, very tight balance And we do our best as a governing agency and with the Fair Board and all the volunteers that come here to make sure that this property is providing a benefit to the public in an intelligent way without taking money out of the general fund to operate it. So it does operate on its own. Did I miss?
No, you pretty much covered it. Yeah. The Fair Fund is its own individual fund. It does not receive general fund monies to operate. Basically makes enough money to sustain itself along with part of the rental that the extension district pays it. Those two things combined give it an operating budget of probably close to $400,000 when you add both the annual fair and the annual operations and then the county fair itself. If they made additional monies, those monies probably would be retained within the Fair Fund and not be transferred from the Fair Fund into the general fund, as this end or this facility out here is in need of resources to help upgrade its facilities and that. So they would probably retain anything that they increase fee-wise in this Fair Fund to maintain their facilities out here in a better way.
Brian Flynn.
Well, this is my second night, and I've heard both nights that this is a dollar issue or a issue of money. But to me, it's a quality of life issue more than anything else. I think that there's no more important function of local government than public safety. Now, I live in Independence. We have our own police department. So we do have 24-hour patrol. And if I say, for example, here a window breaks in the back of my house at 2 in the morning, I can call the police department, I can call 911. We'll probably have a fairly quick response. But if I live in Fall City, if I live in some unincorporated part of the county, it's going to take a while for that dispatcher to call that sergeant to get out of bed, put his clothes on, come and respond to that call, and make sure that there's no homicidal maniac out there trying to do some harm. So I think that, and in a lot of ways too, you gotta look at the fact that the county supports also the district attorney, probation, and if that person perhaps who should have not have been on that street, who was a drug addict or someone under the influence of drugs, runs into my car, and I'm injured. If I'm an independent, perhaps I have more chance to have a police patrol come out. But now, if I'm out again in the county, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't have as much chance of being protected. The thing is this, I want to make sure that I don't have to make decisions that police officers or sheriff's deputies have to make when it comes to my safety, my life. So that's why I think the best dollar value spent would be to support a very basic government function is the safety of the citizens in the whole country. Thank you.
We have Michelle and Alan, I think, so you can each 1 o'clock.
I'll start first. I'll stand up here so everybody can hear me. Thank you, first of all, Sheriff Wolf, for your outstanding service with this much money. We appreciate the response from the HR neighborhood, which is, we live in Grand Rome, by the way, so we're way out there, west in the county, and sometimes we feel like we're forgotten, but we understand that you have few deputies to help us out. And a couple things I want to bring up. We have actually, we bought a beautiful property to put in a new house. First year, we were just paying on the land, $500. Woo-hoo! Now, why wasn't our house put on the first year it was built? And there was time to get it on the roll. So we didn't even get our house on until this year. And then we also found our house value was immediately reduced. It's brand new. Just want to throw that out there. I don't know why that happens. Next question I have, I found on the Humboldt County website, it's a summary of property tax collections. This is for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2014. I don't know when this has been updated. But last June, it was $2,506,932.95. The year before, that same period, it was $1,411,417.86. 2011-12 was over $1 million. 2010-11 about $550,000. 2009 about $247,000. And it really wasn't much the 3 years before that. Another thing that, so I just want to throw that out, is what effort is there to really get those taxes collected? Another issue we have real quickly is code enforcement, which is not the topic, but it's related to property tax. We have some properties in our area that are absolutely trashed. That's caused problems for our sheriff's department, and we've had sheriff's detectives come out and check out some of these properties that are so bad in activity. And so we've got stuff going on that. And I found one property so bad. I contacted one owner. She denied ownership. And she said she sold the property. I said, oh, no, you didn't. You own it. And it's about time you pay your taxes. And I checked the following week, and she paid her taxes. And so we have issues like that as well. And we've heard from actually Yamhill County deputies and some people here that a lot of residents who have these properties, maybe they inherited, they don't have investment in it. They keep the property just absolutely trashed so they don't have to pay a lot of property tax. So that's another issue that we've been dealing with respect to code enforcement, law enforcement. It all ties in together. And in our area, we see you, you're having, I know you come install sometimes. We've had explosions going on. I've had bombs thrown at me. We've had absolutely reckless driving and absolutely crazy, crazy things going on because people know the sheriffs aren't there and they're taking advantage of it. And it got to the point one time, okay, 10 times. I don't like to meet firefighters at my door with a shotgun. I don't want to live like that. And we certainly realize we have that to protect ourselves. Anyway, that's all I want to say tonight. Yes, I got this off the tax assessor. Yeah, and I haven't seen an update on that person.
So I would tell you that it occurs to me last night and tonight that we have these kinds of questions that come forward that are technical in nature about assessment, valuation, and collection that none of us are really versed to be able to answer well. Hanson is, he can talk specifically about some of the things, but again, you know, there's some of the questions you have and some of the challenges you might have really need to go to the assessor.
Right. Well, we're looking at just, well, the point is we're looking at the amount that's uncollected, which we feel is related to the whole, you know, the county needs to get more dollars in to cover this, and this is why I'm asking where we are with the tax collection.
And I can answer it. The average amount of property taxes that are collected in any current year, so this last November, those taxes that were issued in November of 2014, we will collect between 94 and 96% of all the taxes that are levied in Polk County. That's what we collected in that year. And then the following year, you'll collect some of the back taxes. We budget two things in our budget. That's the current year taxes and then the past due taxes. Combined, you tend to get 94% collected in year one and about the remaining 6% collected in past years. There are no efforts to go out and pound on doors and say, pay your taxes. In the process of property taxes, if you're delinquent or have a rolling delinquency of over 3 years, you begin that process automatically. If you don't pay your taxes for 5 years, then I get into your tax foreclosure, and then we try to remarket them and put them back on the street. Now, a lot of the properties we get in tax foreclosure, which we get about 6 to 8 every year, most of them are not houses. Most of them are just slivers of property that we receive as a result of surveying errors and that. We do now and then get properties, and we try to return those to the tax rolls as quick as we can. Sometimes we negotiate or work into an arrangement with a renter or someone who's in there right now and get it so we don't have to kick them out, but that's how it works. So the amounts that you were talking about were what were uncollected amounts for the years. And your biggest year, you're always going to have, I think the tax collector collects about $78 million a year in all property taxes. We don't see that $78 million. That goes to the cities and the schools and the state of Oregon and those things. So. But like I said, between 94 and 96% collection rate in year one. And then in year two, you probably get about three. Year four, you get another 1%. Year four and five, another 1%. And you end up getting about 100% of your taxes collected in a year. It's not all long term.
So what I'm understanding then is of that money that gets uncollected, while it might seem like a lot, and that could go to the county, it doesn't, because a lot of it has to be redistributed back to the cities. And
yeah, we get 15 cents on the dollar at best, and that's mostly in the rural areas. In the urban areas, we get 10 to 14 cents on the dollar. But you eventually collect it, or we own it in 5 years. So there is a, you know, and if before it usually goes to foreclosure, if there's any means for that, the banks pay it off in full. So we do collect a lot of money before it actually goes to county ownership. So.
Okay. Mr. Fink, do you want to add anything?
You did a great job. I appreciate all the work you folks did.
Yeah, I'm going to chat here.
Recognize, I mean, I wouldn't want the job, you guys. But, and it is a lot of work, and it does take a lot. We do appreciate it. But it's not that we do not appreciate our commissioners and the work they do. But yes, we are interested in the county.
Okay. All right. Vern Ratzel. Yes, sir.
The question I have is about the 102 potential employees we would have if the levy was passed.
22.
I thought there was weren't there 78 in the department now?
And if we added another 22, you'd have 100.
Okay, well, let's just take the 78. I'm ignorant on where those employees are or who they might be generally. I mean, you know, if we can, out of 78, we get, I don't know, how many deputies? A dozen or so?
You have 16 FTE in the sheriff's department. That includes the sheriff himself. You have, what, four sergeants and a lieutenant? And then you have five or six deputies. And then you have a civil deputy and three clericals and law. So that's what makes up the sheriff patrol department. They aren't all deputies. There's roughly the sheriff, a lieutenant, four sergeants, and five or six deputies.
So that's about 25 or so?
No. So he has 16 in the patrol division. He has 27 employees in his jail. 25 of those, I think, are corrections staff, and one's a control room tech, and one is a
property specialist.
And then our district attorney has about 12 and a half people in his department. About 9 of those are in prosecution, and about 3.5 of those are in support enforcement.
And that's current.
Corrections has about 13.
That's currently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has 13 and a half employees, which includes one and a half clerical, and a bunch of parole probation officers. So you have about 10 parole probation officers out of that 13 and a half. And then in juvenile, you have about six employees. Four of those are, or five of those are juvenile probation counselors. So, yep, and that makes about 78.5. And then if you, like I said, if you were to pass this levy, we would increase that 78.5 bodies to another 22, and here we go, the sheriff patrol. And those would be, in the case of the sheriff, 12 FTE, those would all be patrol deputies, is my understanding. In the jail, that would be five corrections deputies. And then in the district attorney's office, my guess is of the five FTE, three of those would be prosecutors, so they would be deputy DAs, and two of them would be legal secretaries to support those DAs. So you would increase prosecution, you double your prosecution attorneys because you have three in there now. So.
Now, like in the court system, I understand, is it the judges are state paid?
All of the court facilities and judges are state paid, along with the district attorney himself is a state employee, not a county employee. But all the employees in the district attorney's office are county employees.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to say. I just have a few questions, but I see the problem, and we can all see the problem. And the solutions are pretty minimal as far as the any saving or adjustments or whatever. We all know there's not much there for that to happen. And so one way or another, we've inherited the problem, and it's really a tough one to solve, no matter who's looking at it, really. I'm out there in what I call the 20-minute zone. 20 minutes from the sheriff's help, if he's got a fast car. And there's people beyond me, too. I get, I'm not sure. I imagine Fall City is about 10 miles. If you didn't include them, you'd have PD, and you'd have Air Lee's, Suver, and Buena Vista, and you're over by Independence, and there, you've got the Independence Police pretty close by, but you go north, I imagine that might include Perrydale, and you get to Grand Ground, and you got another 20 minutes over plus there. I do a little reminiscing in the 50-plus years that we farmed out there, 10 miles from town. I didn't remember all of the incidents where I called in those 50 years. But of those 50 years, I can relate to two incidences where I definitely had a personal help from a deputy. I would say the other 20 or more incidences that happened in 50 years, whether it be somebody backing their pickup up to my shop door to get ready to load tools, or one case, some of the hunters were shooting in front of my logger's pickup as they were coming out from the woods. I mean, these other incidences, I've all had to take care of myself. And I usually keep a gun pretty handy, but I've never drawn it, never used it for that purpose. So it's obviously that we obvious that the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes that something happens is what's really critical. Oh, do I have a time limit?
Yeah. All right. I'll go past it.
Okay. So my the point I'd like to make on that, being we're in this condition and probably not going to get completely out of it right away, I would like to see the Sheriff's Department have classes similar to this of which you could instruct us as citizens what we should or shouldn't do in different emergencies. For we to be the ones going to jail.
And there.
Well, here we are again. Hi, my name is Ken Mayer. I'm a former business owner in Dallas, Oregon. You classify basically Polk County as a business. And knowing business like I do, when things start happening, sales get weak, and money starts getting short, you start closing things down. I know you got to make some tough decisions here. You know, I noticed the sheriff talked about, he told one of his jailers that it is one of the more secure positions. But if I remember right, you've known about this problem with the timber coming on for years. You knew it was going to happen. And we put a marvelous jail up. We might start thinking about moving prisoners and renting beds in other areas. I mean, you're talking about $4-5 million to run the jail per year?
$4 million.
And if you rent out 100 beds or 130 beds in another city, you're going to save money. You are going to save money. So, no, not according to figures. So, I mean, it's just that type of thing. I mean, you're looking at basically, you went ahead with a huge expense of a jail. That'd be like me building a huge market when I didn't know I didn't have the income coming. And that's the way you got to start looking at it. And you're going to have to make some tough decisions. I'm going to have to make these tough decisions, and everybody else is going to pay taxes. Because again, this will be an ongoing, every 5 years or however you allow me, it's going to keep continuing. Meanwhile, like we all agree, other entities in the cities and other county agencies or whatever are going to come up and say, we need more money. Chemeketa, school systems, cities, and just keep piling on. I think you need to start really looking at that really closely. I mean, it's just, you know, you're putting all the deputies into the jail. I think they need to move out and be put on the road and just start thinking about that. Then when things start flowing a little better, maybe you start looking at that. That's what I have to say there.
Well, the jail first was built on a bond, and then that's been paid off, and so now we have obviously the annual operation cost of the jail. I can tell you for a fact that the Polk County Jail probably operates as one of the most efficient operated jails in the state of Oregon. We operate that jail with 5 employees at a minimum, and no other jail in the state that holds the capacity of inmates that we hold can operate the jail with that few of FTE employees because of the design of the jail. We actually offer the rent beds to other jails. I have a contract now with Benton County. We're not using that bed space. Going and renting our inmates out to other jails wouldn't necessarily work from the standpoint of then we have to go get them and bring them back to court. The city agencies that use the jail would end up having to transport them to whatever jail we're contracting with. And so now you're taking on crews out of the city or out of the county to drive to this other jail. Marion County can't do it. Benton County's got 40 beds in their jail. That's the size of their jail. And they rent 40 more beds from Yamhill County and Lincoln County. And they rent 5 beds from us that they're currently not using. But it seems like, oh yeah, just rent those beds, you know, send the prisoners elsewhere. But it's not doable. We can't keep up with the courts. The probation officers they have to be traveling out of the county to go visit their clients at other facilities. So you're really getting a bargain for what they're paying in the $4 million a year for the operation of that jail. And jail inspectors that are required under the Oregon State Sheriff's Association and come in and do 2-year examinations of the jail are absolutely amazed at the cleanliness and the quietness, and the first thing they ask is, how do you operate this jail with so few employees? So while it might seem like a good idea, it would actually cost you as a citizen more money for us to transport this jail around.
Ken, for example, community corrections, on average every month, probation officers arrest 25 people in our office and take them to the jail a block away. If we had to arrest 25 people and transport them to another county, oh boy. That would be time consuming and very expensive.
One other factor too that doesn't often get heard of is the fact that a lot of the criminal element don't like committing crime here because they know they're going to stay in this jail, where in Marion County they're going to get cited, released, and matrixed out. Yamhill County does the same thing. Benton County has to pretty much send everybody out. So the bad guys don't like coming here because we have room at the end. So, I hope that answers your question. I'm not sure that you agree with it.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Anything additional?
I'll just give you an example for Benton County. Like the sheriff said, they have a 40-bed jail. They contract out another 40 beds. And their annual budget for their jail is about $1 million more a year than ours. And they're only housing 80 people with that amount, whereas we're housing at that 4 million, 100. As low as 85, 90, and as high as 140, but we average out at about 120.
So. And that number does not include the ancillary additional costs of transportation and manpower throughout the balance system.
I calculated it out before, and I figured we would spend $800,000 to $1 million more if we closed our facility and had to transport out, and that was not calculating the impacts to the cities for their time that they would have to. Because if you're renting out that magnitude of beds, you're not just traveling close. You are traveling minimum 60 miles away. You're now talking 3 hours of round trip to take a prisoner from Dallas along with Independence to wherever they're going. We would have to contract with Lane County because their facilities pod and they're closed. Maybe Lynn, but probably not, because they don't have the magnitude. Or you may have to go up into the metro area. Maybe Washington County has room.
Question? Can I ask a question? What was the vote on the jail when we voted to build the jail? For and against? Do you remember the percentage?
Yeah, I do. Had a finger way too. Yeah. In 1996, we went out for two majors. We went out for the actual construction of the jail, which was a bond, and that was a 10-year bond at $8.5 million. And then we also went out for, at that time, a tax base increase, which is something you could do because it was prior to Measure 4750, which set rates, and that was for $1.5 million. Both of those passed. The building of the jail passed by more than the operating monies for the jail, but the jail passed at about 6238. The actual construction, and then the operating monies for the tax base was about 58, 57 to 42, 43.
So in other words, the voters approved that, and if we shut that down, would that not tip a few voters off?
It might. Unfortunately, when we passed that in May of 1996, unfortunately, in November of 1996, Measure 47 was passed and then revamped. So we didn't get to collect all the $1.5 million that we hoped we would. So we took a hit when they set permanent rates at that time, too. So we only got about 1.1 of that 1.5. We were still able to operate. And since the opening of the jail, we have reduced that. The sheriff did that voluntarily. We started it, we thought we needed about 42 employees. We ratcheted that down to 37 and operated at that amount for a while. And then unfortunately with the cuts that we have had to endure, he's now down to the 27 bodies that he currently is with.
So. Yeah, the cuts forced me to reductions, but we did actually see that you know, based off of the efficiency of the jail and the ability to move inmates unescorted. We just started cutting out some people, although we originally designed and built it based off of all the programs that we've seen. We figured, well, we need X amount of employees, and that's what we brought on, and we started laying some of them off because we didn't really need them, and now I need them when there's a lot of funding.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Gene Henshaw.
I'd like to bring your attention to the handout here that compares Polk County with Yamhill and Benton County, comparable counties in terms of area and population. And if you look at the tax burden on these other counties, ours is less than half. And I guess even with the increase for this lady, if it were 50 cents, I submit to you that we would still be getting a real bargain in Polk County.
Okay, so that's the names I have on here. Anybody that didn't sign up, we should speak.
Russ Noel. Sheriff, wasn't there, maybe I misread this or misheard it, aren't we ranked pretty high overall in the country as far as the jail goes?
I know we're ranked right up the top for the state of Oregon. I'm not familiar with the comparables to other states, but we consistently pass with high marks during our inspections.
When we went through our training academy in our 3 years ago, we went on a trip through it, and it was brought up at that time that apparently we're one of the tops in the country, not just a state.
Well, we have had the state of Washington come down and look at the design of this jail because they were looking at building a jail. And we've also had representatives out of the state of California that have come to our jail. So clearly, Washington and California know of our existence and what we're doing.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's plenty of time. Anybody else? Anything that we haven't covered that you want us to talk about more?
I got one question. The difference between May and November. Can you tell the differences there?
Other than 6 months?
Yeah.
Other than 6 months. There are no, well, voter turnout is different, obviously. In a May election, you have anywhere from 21% to maybe 30% voter turnout. In November, obviously, even year, you have usually non-presidential even year, you have about 70-71% voter turnout. In a presidential year, you tend to have almost 80%. At least that's how it plays out if you look at historically. Probably the bigger thing is both don't require a supermajority anymore. If you get 50 plus one, then you win in both May and November. It used to be even years, and now it's every year in those two elections. Probably the bigger thing is to look at who else is on the ballot with you on timing and that, and what current events are going on. So I don't think it's, and this is just my personal opinion, going out in November is a tough sell when the people are carrying their property taxes in one end,
exactly,
and you're asking for money with your ballot.
Yep.
When you're asking for money on operating levies, November is not a good time. If you're asking for a general bond, those are different because people know they're getting exactly some product, whether that's roads or a new school or a new building or something like that. So GO bonds are a little different. They tend to pass based on their merit. Operating levies tend to pass mostly in the state of Oregon in May, unless there are a reauthorization of one already existing. But most of the time, those occur in May if you want to be successful.
Introduce yourself for the record.
Paul Adams. President Mom, I have a question that's actually not so much a question for tonight, but maybe something that the assessor and this team could come up with. When you're doing comparables between the counties, something that's different from the 1996 time period is the growth in the wine industry and the growth in a lot of the agricultural tourism type of activities that are being protected by road deputies with the increased traffic and those type of activities out of those areas. So if there's a way to compare aggregate value of the county compared to law enforcement availability, I think that might actually open some eyes, especially in the West Salem area that has a number of wineries and other activities that are in the county property, not probably subject to at least fast mutual aid from Salem because of their own budget challenges. It might be a comparison that could be helpful for the argument, just to throw it out there.
So I would ask Paul that, and I, you know, we kind of talk about those different kinds of strategies. And one of the challenges, and we're all voters here, we all know we don't like scare tactics.
Sure.
And so it's a fine line, unfortunately, when you're talking about comparisons and using response times, for example.
We're not talking response, we're talking value to officer. What I'm trying to do is instead of scare, it's actually, here's a benefit to the business community that's expanding in the county region, not in the cities. Here's actually a benefit to you to have increased protection for people that are visiting your wine rooms, visiting other areas, not as a scare tactic. Because you're right.
I just worry about that, that there's, it doesn't get flipped over as like, oh, you're, I see what you're doing.
Correct.
And I just scare people into voting for it. That is one of the challenges that
agreed.
We're hoping that we could have some wine industry people that would come out and talk about that very issue.
Again, I'm going to add it out. Through the future businesses to come to this area, if we don't support these types of services, some of those businesses won't come. And if we have people in the elected positions that don't support the businesses of our community down the road, and businesses coming here by helping support these types of things, we have to question the people that are trying to create a problem with our safety in this county.
Agreed. I can give you a case in point of my own personal. So I have commercial property in the south end of the county in Super. And unfortunately, knock on wood, tonight will be the night. It hasn't been hit in 25 plus years in any significant way. But it is a problem because as I'm trying to lease it, and I've been trying to lease it for a while, and it is a question that does come up from potential renters from time to time is, well, so you're out of the city here, what's the law enforcement look like here, and what's the probability of having my equipment stolen or my, you know, and I get to say, fortunately, 25 years, thank you, nothing's happened of any consequence. It could happen tonight. So that is a challenge. Generally, though, and I work on economic development issues every day, I can tell you that the majority of the economic development questions are usually around urban industrial zone properties. And so typically the answer to that question comes from city law enforcement. And generally they'll tell you it's robust and they're doing okay. That is a challenge, though, and it's something that's a reality for me when I talk about economic development outside the urban areas. I have to be honest with people and just say, well, it's not as robust as we'd like it to be. I try not to say, well, the, you know, we have an escalating crime rate because I don't have stats for that. That's not really where we are. But I think all of us here are very concerned, and we should all be concerned, about the point at which that crime rate does tip over and gets away from us. And we've been fortunate so far in Polk County with our diminishing law enforcement or our patrols, especially, but even with our DA's office, we've been very fortunate that I think that the crime rate has not escalated out of control. But there is that potential for things to happen. And we do know that Fall City, for example, I don't mean to pick on, but Fall City sits right on the edge of that all the time. And Sheriff can talk about those calls and the things that happen there. We worry about that a great deal, and it's one of our hotspots that we wish we had more resources to spend in.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, it's just locally, county residents, as you end up having more things disappear or damage, and you make reports to your insurance company, as you know, eventually your rates start going up because, you know, there's no exposure. I can tell you that right now our arrests for thefts have decreased 40%. And this is physical custody arrest has increased 40% since January 1 to October 31st of this year compared to the same time period last year. And while the thefts have decreased 40%, we've also had a 28% increase in reported thefts because we have actually encountered people who say, well, yeah, I didn't bother to call you because I know you don't have anybody available. You know, and so they reported their insurance company, and eventually insurance companies are going to start saying, well, gee, we have a whole issue going on here in Polk County, and rates are going up. And so another side note of this is I got a call from the Bonneville Power Administration. They wanted to know if we had deputies that would be able to start working with them when they come through to do some work on power lines that are coming through Polk County, because they're concerned about metal theft and theft of equipment and things. And I said, I got 10 hours of patrol. That's the best I can do for you. And so they want to meet with us to try to figure out what they can do to see if they have to hire some extra security of their own, because we just, you know, the probability of theft is pretty high in medical.
Yeah. Since you kind of brought it up here, insurance rates. Speaking with my agent, I forget that he said that's an acronym, but basically they set the insurance rates for the states and the different counties. I'll start right here. Yeah. And basically, City of Dallas residents just went from a 2 to a 4. If we go over 4, my insurance rates go up automatically. Polk Station, Fire Station 1 area got a bond or a levy, but yet their rates went up to a 6. So everybody in Polk Station area coverage, homeowners insurance, property insurance went up, and it did go up. And you can check into that. They're gonna go up, and it has to really, they look more at home protection, you're correct, but they also go with the fire stations too. And just to touch on it, Dallas Fire Department is having a little bit of a problem, and that may bring our rates up.
So, and I would argue, since I know a little about that,
yeah,
you're talking about ISO ratings that deal,
yep,
directly with fire only,
yeah,
and not with police protection.
But still going to be a lot.
You have any input there with regard to ratings for police protection?
No, I'm not, insurance? I'm not sure that they do the same for fire, for law enforcement. I'm just saying that the individual homeowner may end up seeing their rates because
it's just basically the total race that comes up.
But I can tell you that I don't mind sharing Mr. Buchanan's statement from last night. When I get away paying $90 a year more for a $200,000 home, and actually mine's more than that, so I'll pay more. But, you know, I pay that $90 versus my deductible from my homeowner's insurance. I'd much rather pay the $90 if I thought that I was going to have a better potential. At least have to get them to come investigate and help solve the crime and get my property back. So there is
claim. You still got the claim if something happens.
Right. But the other advantage is, of course, especially for those of us who live outside urban areas, if we have active patrols that are seen more often, our opportunities for crime do go down. So there's less likelihood to build that. All right.
One other point, not specifically to the levy itself, but you see the turnout here, you saw the turnout last night. We found out about it through one of our friends. We read about it in the IO, and that was it. Can we get more possible publicity to get more people to listen to your message? Which is a great message, by the way. We can kind of do a foam tree for hats, but that only goes so far.
It's on the county webpage.
Yeah, people that don't know.
So my mom says,
what's that?
We get something in the Statesman Journal. Because we have so many people in
West Salem.
And we haven't had any of the West Salem meetings yet.
Right, so we need to...
The goal is to get something in the West Salem States and Journal and the West Sider. There's also going to be an article on that to drum up interest there. Those are occurring in January. These are the only two in this calendar year. And then the rest are going to begin in January. I think your next two are the first week of January, and they'll be out in the Fall City and the Grand Mall area.
I would tell you, though, that a great opportunity is for you to send a letter to the editor of States of Journal, as many of those as we can get, is a plus as well. I mean, there are some people that do read those. That's all they look for in the paper. So the Statesman is tough to get nailed down. They want revenue for ads.
Yeah.
So, and all papers want that. So that's a tough thing, and we're trying to be very careful here not to spend money, you know, that we shouldn't spend. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't do that. We're trying to do all we can.
We'll get a chain on it coming.
Just quickly, I wanted to point out, we live next to the casino out there, so there are tribal police efforts out there and finance. Unfortunately, everybody that we've been talking with here understands that. But there are a lot of people out there that don't understand the division of enforcement between the tribe and the sheriff here, where the tribe is actually not even part of this nation. And they'll tell you that. They want all your tax money to go buy it back. So, but just that, that I've been favorably impressed with the understanding.
I was just going to say that so many of the younger families and things like that, the only way they get any news is through Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm too old to do Facebook, but if we had somebody that would do Facebook, I think it would be...
I know you've been on Facebook.
Huh?
I know you've been on Facebook.
Very little. But if they talked about it on Facebook and said, I went to the meeting, have any of you been? We could maybe get some of the younger people to come.
More murder eyes.
So if anybody knows anybody that would do it, actually, I got one gal to do it, and she put it on there and said, this is the schedule, all of you should go. But I've only gotten one person to do it.
Like I said, your networks amplify the message much more. So whether you're for the idea or against the idea, it doesn't make any difference. Let people know.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Comments? I don't know how creative you want to get. I don't know what the possibilities are. But we know that there's quite a few people in Polk County that spend quite a bit of money gambling. And if the county, I don't know, but just an idea, if the county somehow could have a subcommittee or somebody else of it, buy the Blue Garden and put in machines and make this fun. Have all, you know, maybe 90% goes to county taxes, all right? And let them pull up handles, you know, they seem like they like that. And look at what the casino pulled in over there. I don't have any idea, but it's a lot. And so I don't know what kind of side deal you can get going, but it looks like there's some revenue to be made there somewhere.
Probably going to need to get some legislative.
Well, they're going to be here in a couple months, so get with it.
Okay, commissioners, anything you want to add?
I just appreciate everybody coming.
Marty, can I give you? All right.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you all for coming. I'm going to close this hearing.